gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. What? Another unsolicited testimonial for the Steph Show and a Steph sponsor. Why, Sue in Rockville. Steph, after hearing about SodaStream on your show, it's so fun. And naturally, being the grandma who brought a baby to a bar, SodaStream was worth trying. Bar baby Molly, who is now three, and her big brother Evan, who's seven, we're not allowed to drink regular soda, too much sugar, preservatives, etc. But with SodaStream, we use filtered water. They can pick their own flavors, and they love making and drinking it. So not only are we the coolest, hippest grandparents in Maryland, but our shoulders and knees are saved wear and tear because we no longer are lugging bottles home. My only concern, is there a link between making your own soda as a kid and making your own beer and booze by your teens? Computer says yes.
Computer says yes.
No, I don't think so.
Computer says no.
I don't think so. Why, thank you, Sue in Rockville.
Does it come with beer flavor? Champagne flavor?
No, oh. You can't make beer. It's not a moonshine machine.
Aww.
Speaking of effervescent fun, I know it's not Friday, but it's weird.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fuglesang.
Good morning, children.
John Fuglesang joins us in a wacky, it's like a time warp thing on Tuesday because he can't make it on Friday.
I'm going to be in the beautiful South this Friday in Charlotte performing, and so the good Mr. Lavoie asked if I'd come on today.
That's right.
Go see my mommy if you're in Charlotte, won't you?
If you want me to, yeah. You want me to bring her anything? Whatever you
need. I'll tell you exactly what she'll say. Oh, he's so handsome. Are you sure?
Listen, Steph, I'm also here because I want to make sure that my job on Fridays is safe now that Ginny Thomas is looking for work.
Yes.
I just want to make absolutely sure with your listeners as witnesses that you're not going to give my shift to Ginny because she needs a gig now.
Yes, I know.
She has more time around the house and Clarence doesn't want that. So I'm hoping that mm-hmm. my job's safe and you're not going to go right to Ginny.
No, absolutely.
Even if she offers you a Statue of Liberty crown made of foam?
I don't care how many times she drunk dials me at 7:30. I stand firm.
At your office on a Saturday.
By the way, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. We keep you safer without touching your junk, just so you know.
Touch my junk and I'll sue.
No, you won't. You like it. All right. We have a lot. You know, by the way, you are a lot of man. There's been a lot of talk.
Yes.
You missed Right Wing World yesterday. A lot of talk about what it takes to be a man. Isn't it, Chris? Mm. Isn't there Chris in Right Wing World?
Chris Wallace said to Mike Gallagher, the Right Wing radio host, that you need to go to strip clubs in order to be a man.
That's what it takes to be a man, Dad.
Of course.
A lot of talk about what it means to be a man these days, isn't there?
It's a man, baby.
Man up, Harry Reid. And man up. And do what you're asking other people to do.
Jim Ward. He is karaoke king. He can sing.
I'm a man.
Get your man pants on.
Here's what it means to be a man in Right Wing World these days. Mike Gallagher and Chris Wallace discussing what it is to be a man.
They have advertisements for, like, gentlemen's clubs.
You think I could go to a gentleman's club? Are you crazy? I would not walk into one of those sorties.
Because you're not a man.
You can blubber in public about the jobs you had to have growing up, but you're not a man unless you go to strip clubs.
I spent my whole life chasing the American dream, working every rotten job there was.
I'm more of a man than any liberal is.
That's at the top of our list.
Thank you, Shano.
Yeah, it's true. You know, you really, to be a man, you have to be able to go to a place and pay women to pretend to like you. That's what real men are made of.
Yes. Yes. John Fuglesang, once again, another shot across the bow in our East Coast, West Coast rap war. And you are missing all the fun in L.A. All the fun. you know what? Miranda just told me there's pictures from the big gala Saturday night at the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center that I was at.
Oh,
yes. Hanging out with, just to name drop a few, Lily Tomlin, Jane Wagner, you know, folks. Kathy Griffin.
Were they asking about me?
Jane Lynch. Yes, they all asked about you, but I haven't seen pictures yet. I don't know if I looked like a skank or not.
Oh, stop.
Well, I'll go look. But anyway,
there are probably pictures of your leg on the red carpet.
Oh, yeah, the last red carpet thing, I went with our good friend Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, to the other thing, and there's just my leg. Because, you know, when they scream at celebrities, John, to, you know, they're...
Oh, the paparazzi go crazy. Stephanie, Stephanie, over here, Stephanie.
No, there was no
here.
Stephanie. There was just Shelly. Move the radio geek so we can get a clear picture.
Miss Miller, can you please get out of the shot?
Damn it. Oh, you got her stupid leg in there. Move. Yeah, so that's...
They'd rather have a picture of her with Jeff Lewis from Bravo's Flipping Out than with you. Seriously.
with anybody.
Yeah, that was the picture that they took with Jeff Lewis.
Listen, you didn't see the picture from the 1964 campaign where my dad's holding me in his arms?
Yeah.
And one of my friends, I've told you this many times, said if they would have just dubbed in a sack of potatoes, he might have at least carried Iowa. Because I look...
Idaho,
pardon me.
Because that's where potatoes come from.
Yes, what did I say? Idaho,
Iowa.
That's what I meant.
Corn comes from Iowa.
Whatever.
How about a stalk of corn?
Something. Yeah, anything.
Okay.
If he was holding, if they didn't have green screen then, if they had just been able to, you know, Photoshop something in there instead of me.
I saw that picture.
Yeah, and I have those little crazy eyes, like, you know, those little, you know, that little doll you'd shake and the eyes go.
The googly eyes.
The googly eyes, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a wolf child with googly eyes.
Did you get those fixed, too?
Hmm.
The googly eyes.
No, I think that was just a weird angle, that picture. I looked a little like the comedy Eyes on Springs, a little bit.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, you look like Butch Patrick bit by a werewolf.
Oh, anyway, but the Stephanie Miller Show has to offer a very rare correction. Could I have my, Mama's always right, as you know. But I think I mentioned that I was sitting next to a Pulitzer Prize winning Jane Wagner.
Yeah.
Lily wrote me yesterday, and Steph, we hate to have to tell you, Jane did not win the Pulitzer.
Oh.
I said, what do you people think? I have Bill O'Reilly's budget for fact checkers? I don't know this sort of...
You just got bad intel. That means
there was lots of talk about that when she wrote The Search for Signs. However, she's won 3 Emmys, a WGA, 2 Peabody's, a special New York Theater Critics Award, several other awards, whatever.
Whatever.
She should have won the Pulitzer because that is an amazing piece of work.
I wrote them back. I'm like, whatever, overachievers, you know, Peabody, Pulitzer, whatever. As you know, the only thing I've ever won.
What?
Fourth runner-up. Junior Miss.
America's Junior Miss.
That's
1979.
Right.
Miss Congeniality, too.
Miss Congeniality.
Yeah.
So we apologize for getting
we know
various overachievers awards incorrect.
Well, you win the George Bush Bad Intel Award for this year.
Oh, also the Mark Twain Award. I forgot. It's not the... But she
Jane,
won the
Jane
field.
Won that.
She,
you
yes.
didn't win that. Because
no.
we were talking
oh,
about
I'm
your...
Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. If I misspoke and I gave anyone the impression that I won the Mark Twain Award, I apologize. But I don't think anyone actually thought that.
That'd be like saying you won a Pulitzer when it was really your old show that won a Polk.
Yeah.
Oh, I get all those P awards confused. You know how it is,
what
John.
Did the late night
I wrote them back immediately. Said, thank God I did my research before I announced her Olympic medal for the javelin toss,
yes.
which we congratulate Jane Wagner for. What?
What awards did the late night Stephanie Miller Show win?
I think that was much like Jane Wagner for the Pulitzer. I was sadly overlooked.
Yes, for an Emmy.
I think you won a Kicking Vibes Ass in the Demo Award.
Did you kick Vibes Ass?
I don't remember.
When Chris Spencer took over? When Sinbad
the
took
the Magic Hour?
I took Sinbad down,
yes.
though. Eat my dust, Rick Dees. All right. Let's see. Oh, and
listen with the Rick Dees jokes. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
I was trying to think who else had a late night show of that era.
Magic Johnson, the
yes.
Magic Hour.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That
oh,
was Magic.
My favorite talk show in history.
Yes.
Now we have to do the show.
Yeah. That was a lot of that.
Right. Okay. And this is not really a correction. It's just an apology. Terry and Dylan. I got a lot of these. Terry and Dylan Beach. Hello. So you know we're in trouble when it just starts with hello.
Yeah.
While our relationship has been relatively short and albeit one-sided, I'm afraid it may be over. I can find humor in virtually anything. The more inappropriate, the better. But what you put on your show yesterday morning, irresponsible, quite possibly unforgivable. I've had that popcorn song stuck in my head the entire day. It may even turn out to be a 2 or 3-dayer.
Oh, boy.
Like a really terrible hangover. I can't possibly be the only one. Shame on you for ruining so many good people's days. I do believe in forgiveness generally achieved via retribution. Perhaps someone could sing It's a Small World After All. John?
It's a Small World After All?
I don't know. We're just trying to think of something. You need another earworm to get the original earworm out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
We'll have to wait till Jim gets here.
Wings is good for that.
Wings?
And, Wilson Phillips, yeah.
Oh, all right. We apologize for playing the Bill O'Reilly popcorn song.
Wow.
Now I have to listen to Billy Joel.
You know, he won a Peabody for this.
And a Polk.
And a Polk.
And a Mark Twain.
And a Grammy.
Yeah.
All right. All right, 17. That was just, you know what? That was like packing peanuts, that first segment. What was that about? Nothing.
That was about nothing. Absolutely nothing.
These are unfair attacks on you.
Okay.
I'll bring Charlie Rangel in to defend you.
All right. And we'll tell you who won the first teabagger versus the GOP establishment fight as we continue 17 minutes after the hour. Tuesdays with Fugelsang?
What? Tuesdays with Fugelsang?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun. It's healthy. It's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. I know, for a Tuesday show, it's weird.
It's so weird.
What happens on Friday? Who knows?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's just dirtier on Tuesday.
Actually, we have Kelly Carlin coming in studio on Friday.
Awesome. No. George Carlin's daughter, who is also hilarious.
That's right.
He's wonderful.
And you know who we have on tomorrow's show, Stephanie, besides Hal Sparks for Hump Days with Hal?
Who?
Someone you spilled wine on.
Christine Lottie!
Yes!
Yes! Oh.
Wow, she guessed that quick out of all the hundreds of people.
There's a statute of limitations on after I spill wine on various celebrities' events, and then they forget. All right, and then they just get tarp the next time I'm invited.
Oh, not tarp, not troubled asset.
No,
okay.
No stimulus funds were used in the making of this. All right.
Yeah, that's how much a political geek I am. My mind immediately went to the stimulus instead of...
Yeah, you marinate too much.
I know.
You need to get out.
I know.
Mm-hmm. All right. The entertainment we love is watching the infighting between the teabaggers and the Republican establishment.
Oh, it's so much fun.
First round, teabaggers. They're scared. They're scared of those teabaggers. Mitch McChinless.
Yes.
He fell in line behind demands by House leaders and Tea Party activists for a moratorium on pork barrel projects known as earmarks. Mm-hmm. He has long, of course, defended the practice. He's running a scared.
Yes.
Of a teabagging.
And what I've concluded is that on the issue of congressional earmarks, as the leader of my party in the Senate, I have to lead first by example. Nearly every day that the Senate's been in session for the past 2 years, I've come down to this very spot and said that Democrats were ignoring the wishes of the American people. When it comes to earmarks, I won't be guilty of the same thing.
He got teabagged by Jim DeMint.
That's right.
Yeah. By the way, Inhofe, he was on the other. He declared war on DeMint-backed earmark ban, saying those who support it are brainwashed, which I guess now includes Mitch McConnell.
Wow. Why are they so for these pork barrel projects? I mean, the American people are not for earmarks.
Well, first of all, the politics of this are ridiculous because, as we're talking about, as the Bush tax cuts are coming up, that's the huge bulk of the deficit and this whole. But the earmarks are not going to. It's not going to reduce the deficit at all. It's a political play.
It won't do it at all. And again, earmarks are all about bringing home the bacon to your home district. So they're not going to really do anything to reform it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Senator Jim Inhofe, global warming denier, he declared an all-out war within the Senate Republican Conference to defeat the earmark moratorium. He's porky, that one.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
You know, South Carolina gets back $1.35 from the government for every dollar they send. Like, give it back.
Yeah.
If you hate it so much. It's 1% of the total budget, these guys.
By the way, he called out Jim DeMint for supporting earmarks before he was against them. DeMint was really pro-earmark. He ran as pro-earmarker as a House member in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Mitch McConnell, the latest flip-flopper.
Banning earmarks is another small but important symbolic step that we can take to show that we're serious, another step on the way to serious and sustained cuts in spending and to debt.
Oh, he blinked. He blinked in the first big teabaggy fight.
Yeah, and we need to add $700 billion to the deficit through tax cuts for the rich.
Exactly. But I have to say, I don't know if this is a good sign, that, you know, because you're thinking, like, first of all, you know, you have to, one thing they do it better than we do is fall in line together. I mean, because that's been part of the, like, mm-hmm. how is this going to play out?
Right.
Apparently, they're going to run to their lunatic fringe right. They're going to run to the crazy right. If the teabaggers are going to start winning the fights, then...
Well, then they're going to overcorrect, and people are going to vote for the Democrats next time.
Exactly. I give you the re-election strategy.
Because if we have anything, we have attention deficit disorder in this political world.
We have what?
What'd you say?
Attention.
What?
See, I see what you did there. See, because like he wasn't paying attention anymore after I just said okay. Obama, who endorsed a crackdown on earmarks on Saturday, praised McConnell's move. He said, "We can't start with earmarks as they represent only a part of the problem. I look forward to working with Democrats and Republicans to not only end earmark spending, but to find other ways to bring down our deficits." Bush tax cuts. David Axelrod.
We are pleased with the movement toward doing away with these earmarks.
I'm not a fan of the earmark.
No?
No. No, because
well, who is? But it's 1% of the federal budget. This is like welfare reform all over again.
Right, but it is 1% of the federal budget. I think that's something we can totally crack down on, and it has bipartisan support right now.
By the by, it's going to be interesting, though, to see how all this plays out. What's his name? The guy from Georgia, Representative Phil Gingrey?
Yes.
He, of course, assured Americans when he was running he's committed to finding ways to reduce government programs that are bloated and riddled with waste. So you know what he's for? Fighting for that F-22.
Mm-hmm.
The one that doesn't work?
Yes.
The one the Pentagon says they don't need?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The stealth fighter jet, a weapon designed to address threats faced last during the Cold War. It has not performed a single mission in Iraq or Afghanistan. It comes with a $120 million price tag per plane. The F-22, of course, Gates has said they don't need any more. He said there is no military requirement for creating more F-22s. Yet despite that and the overwhelming bipartisan agreement that the plane qualifies as taxpayer waste in spite of his own commitment to cutting spending, Gingrey now thinks he knows better than the Pentagon.
Huh.
And is calling for resuming production of more F-22s. Not only is he willing to waste taxpayer dollars on an unnecessary and unwanted weapon, he's willing to fight his own party to do it because the same planes are built
in his district.
States. Porky, porky, yep. Porky. Oh, here's another little fun fact. His soft spot for this may have to do with the fact he owns tens of thousands of dollars worth of stock in Boeing, Lockheed Martin's partner in building the F-22, which I'm sure is just a weird quirk. It's just a weird coincidental
You're
quirk.
Shattering all my illusions about Republican fiscal responsibility. I wasn't ready for this.
I apologize, John. Let's take a quick one from David in Seattle. Hi, David.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hey, did you happen to catch our girl Loretta Sanchez do the smackdown on Harbaugh yesterday?
I did.
Oh, God, it was incredible. Okay, so Mitch McKinless, he's so disingenuous, it's toxic.
We're going to have to hold this till after the break. We will find out why McKinless is toxic as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, that old hippie. The stench of pot and body odor was beginning to reach McConaughey-ian proportions.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. John Fugel sang in the New York Bureau for all 3 hours on a Tuesday. It's all cattywampus.
Yes. You can't do that.
In spite of popular demand.
Oh, come on.
No, come on now. Hey, guess what? We have a new...
Right-wing hypocrite!
Wow! Maryland physician Andy Harris. He's a freshman Republican.
Oh.
Wait, one of them there in that Republican tsunami.
Oh, yes.
Came in.
That, yeah.
In Maryland?
Please don't call it that.
He did it in, he did it in part by railing against Obamacare and pledging to repeal health care reform.
Mm-hmm.
When he showed up on Capitol Hill yesterday for an orientation for incoming members of Congress and their staff, his main question, where's my health care?
Oh.
Where's my government health care? Harris created a stir at the orientation meeting by demanding to know why he had to wait a month after he was sworn in January for his government-subsidized health care to kick in.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
At any new job, you have to wait at least a month before your health care kicks in.
I want my socialism now!
After responding in a huff, he even asked if there was some way he could buy into the government care in advance, seemingly thinking there might be a government program similar to the so-called public option championed by progressive Democrats and voted down by Republicans. Just for those of you that don't know your recent history.
Mm.
Harris stood up at the meeting and asked the two ladies who were answering questions why it had to take so long, what he would do without 28 days of health care. During the campaign, Harris told voters, my answer to the ever-rising cost of insurance is not the expansion of government-run or government-mandated insurance, but instead common-sense market-based solutions.
He can buy his own damn health care.
That ensure decisions are made by patients and their doctors, of which you're both, you moron, and a great
I think he's lazy.
Of right-wing hypocrites!
Oh, seems like being a physician and a patient, he might be able to come up with some sort of market-based solution for himself. He's awfully impatient, isn't he, John?
Grab the teat.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And you just know that Fox is covering this right now.
Do they? Yeah, of course.
Right.
Does government health care cover ball reductions? Because, I think that might be necessary. Because that takes a big set, doesn't it?
Big set of huevos.
Big hypocritical set.
Yeah.
That can be painful. You know, some men do.
It's just shocking.
I'm not sure what it's called. It's a cosmetic surgery, much like a vagioplasty. I'm not sure if it's covered under the congressional plan, but it should be. It should be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got a pair. He's got a lot of them.
Ball reduction.
David likes a ball humor. She's involved. Okay. Hi, David.
Okay, the next 2 years, these GOP teabagger hypocrites are just going to be handing it to you guys on the silver platter. So I guess it won't be so bad.
Yeah.
That's what I said last week.
Yep.
But
it takes a big set to teabag properly.
Okay, and these teabaggers don't choke.
No.
Okay, so the George Bush War Criminal Book Tour 2010 has revealed that Mitch McConnell asked Bush to bring troops back in 2006 to try to help boost Republican chance of getting elected.
Yeah.
And they could strut and run.
Yep.
While Mitch McConnell was, doing the opposite. In front of the cameras.
Yep.
Oh, God, he makes me sick. I hate looking at his face.
why did Bush throw McChinless under the bus? That's the question. I mean, Bush threw him under, and it's fascinating to watch. Now Bush is turning against them.
Yeah.
Maybe Bush is a teabag.
By the way, after it emerged that entire sections of George W. Bush's memoir were plagiarized from books by former aides, the Borowitz Report asked followers to come up with the best plagiarized first line for the book. Are you there, Satan? It's me, George. The past is a foreign country. We need to blow it up. If you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'll probably want to do is talk to Cheney. And my mom always said life was like a jar of fetus. Okay.
Oh.
Andy Borowitz's Twitter.
The actual first line of the book is "Call me Ishmael," so give some respect, okay? Can you imagine, like, that he plagiarized his own aides? Can you imagine Barbara Bush hearing about this? Oh, George, you plagiarized the help?
This isn't working out very well for them, is it? Peter in Chicago.
So many of the people in the arenas here, were underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
That's the 20th most offensive thing Barbara Bush ever said.
Peter in Chicago. Next to, hey, George, look at this fetus in a jar. Hi, Pete.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
You guys keep talking about these tax cuts never helped poor people. I happen to own a Columbia 350. It took 4,000 man hours to build that. That's 100 weeks of full-time work. There are over 700 Columbias out there. I mean, how much work is that? Not to mention and these are plastic airplanes. There's another model called a Cirrus, which is a direct competitor,
right.
And there's over 2,000 of them. And those are plastic airplanes. Metal airplanes take about 6,000 man hours to build. All of these are only available to us because of the tax breaks.
Oh,
why
please.
Only because of the tax breaks?
Oh, please.
Yeah, what's the direct correlation?
I could not have afforded our Columbia without that tax break.
Without
oh,
the 3.9%
sir.
Tax break, really?
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you, right-wing talking point. Okay. Love of God. I swear to God, there's an army of freepers. Calls with, like, I couldn't have possibly done this without the largesse of the Republicans and the tax breaks they've been giving me. Okay.
It's just incredible. I mean, yeah, I'm sorry the guy's gone because I want to get some more specifics out of him on that because, you know, this is proven. I mean, it hasn't, if it helps him create jobs, why hasn't it happened yet? Where are the jobs? You know, we lost jobs under the Bush administration.
Yeah.
We were losing 750,000 jobs a month when Obama took office. And these people keep saying we need to have the jobs back. We need to have the tax cuts made permanent so we can keep on creating all these jobs that we're not creating. Obama's already created more jobs in 20 months.
I know you're kind of a naive country bumpkin, John Fugel saying, but there are actually an army of. They said they tell them to call progressive shows with these. I'm a small business. Remember, even during the campaign, I am a small business owner.
Right, but they're.
I am an independent. I like to listen to both sides. But you know, I found that my health insurance has gone blah 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 blah. I couldn't have possibly created the jobs I have without the small business tax cuts.
Yeah, but their thoughts scatter like a cream puff thrown into a fan when they when they're confronted with facts. And so I just love
all
confronting
right.
these people with
I'm
facts.
I'm sorry. I'm sleepy this morning. I'll leave the next one on longer.
Because yeah, that doesn't go along with their script, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just fun to listen to.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if the tax cuts helps jobs, why did we lose so many jobs?
Well, that's what I just – why isn't anybody ever forced to answer that question? They
I
just
know,
don't.
I only went
they
to
just
public school, but the math doesn't add up.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what just doesn't make sense. They keep just repeating the same thing. We can't expect people to create jobs. Why haven't they created them for 8 years of these tax cuts?
Well, so that's why now we're trying to have this big debate. And with I don't know if you talked about it yesterday, but with Chuck Schumer saying that Obama should just raise it to $1 million.
We have
that. We'll only tax people after the first $1 million of income. They want to tax more on whatever you make after the first million, emphasis on moron. I think the Democrats should compromise and say that we'll make the Bush tax cuts permanent. We'll give an extension for people who make $500,000. And then when they compromise again, because they're Democrats, they can go up to $1 million.
Okay, Chuck Schumer is.
What if we moved it up to $1 million? Everyone below $1 million will get a tax cut, but the millionaires and billionaires won't. And the plan I proposed would encompass virtually all small businesses.
By the by, here's a little historical fun fact for those of you that might have forgotten. You know them there Bush tax cuts, John, in the first place?
Oh, yeah.
They were passed through reconciliation.
Oh, that horrible
to
process?
To avoid a Democratic filibuster, Obama and the Democrats, this is Tim writing, Obama and the Democrats could pass an extension of the middle class tax cuts tomorrow in the same manner without the support of Republicans or Joe Lieberman. They could do so with 50 votes in the Senate. But as you said, John, they probably won't.
Like they could have been the public option?
Mm. Yeah, I don't...
They could pass the public option now.
Call me crazy. I don't really get why we're negotiating already like this. Because you're absolutely right. It's like, you know, yes, to get it done, you might have to, but why are you starting by saying, yeah, we're going to...
Could we get 50 Democrats?
I think,
Do you really think so?
I think so. David Axelrod yesterday.
We have to extend these middle-class tax cuts. Absolutely have to do that. We should do that permanently. Give people the security of knowing that their taxes aren't going to go up. That'd be important for the middle class and important for the country.
Ed Schultz yesterday was saying, and again, everybody has a different take on this, how the politics of it. John, I don't know if you saw him, but he was saying they should just let it go in the lame dog. Don't vote on it. Let the Republicans have to.
Yeah, call their bluff on this and bring the fight
to
the American
don't bring
people,
it up.
You know?
Don't. What's that?
They should bring the fight to the American people. They, you know, go ahead and make it $1 million cap, and then you know, tax only millionaires and billionaires, and make the Republicans fight for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, $250,000, they'll say it's small businessmen. Fine. You know what? The first time I ever made that much money was under Clinton. I was psyched to be in a higher tax bracket so I could contribute more to the country that produced me.
Mm-hmm.
But you go ahead and make it $1 million and force McChinless to fight for that.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's go to John in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John. Hey, John.
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. You know, on this coming month, you're going to see a lot of grandmas probably have their plugs pulled because the tax rate on the estates are going to go up to about 55% on January 1 after like $1 million some. So just let the Republican constituency wait for their grandmas to have their life support pulled and see what they think of family values.
Okay, let's unknot this pretzel for a minute. What are you saying? Grandmother's...
Well, right now it's unlimited, right? You're a billionaire, you die, your kids get it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
On January 1, after $1 million, the government gets 55%.
Okay.
So there's a tremendous incentive if no change comes about for a lot of seniors to start dying in the next.
So families are just going to start willy-nilly pulling the plug on grandma.
Well, those who are wealthy, and then we can see what kind of family values they have.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
All right. Okay. That was a little...
It was a little tortured.
That was a little fear-mongery in the other direction.
I don't see, like, it's not that rich people are evil. You know, that's the rap that progressives keep getting, that we hate business,
right.
That we hate
rich people.
Well,
I mean, this is a state tax. It affects what, like, less than 1% of the people in the country?
Exactamundo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, hating the rich is not the same as hating greed. I mean, hating capitalism is not the same as hating greed, you know? And greed is what destroys capitalism and communism.
Yep. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue with more Tuesdays with Fugelsang. What? On the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
At the end. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, Paula writes, Steph, the right's argument that you don't want to raise taxes in a recession makes sense and should apply to people who went through or are going through a recession. The top earners in this country did not go through a recession. And not only did they not go through a recession, they had a financial boom in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paula.
It's always a tax on working folks.
Yep, exactly.
What were you laughing at, John?
I was laughing at Stephanie Miller's We Didn't Start the Fire theme.
Okay.
Because that song's 21 years old now.
Oh, my God.
Really? It seems new every time to me.
Doesn't it, though?
Kelsey in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kels.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Mook.
Hi.
Word.
Word. I just wanted to say it's not surprising that the right wing is, their talking point is, I got more jobs, I could do this. They look at the individual, not at the collective. Sure, one or two jobs may have been saved or created, but in general, job growth is down.
Right, right. Well, hey, what does somebody say that, we had a right-wing caller, Kelsey, the other day mentioned George Bush's average unemployment rate during his presidency, and they said that's like saying on average the Titanic's voyage was iceberg-free.
Yes.
It's like,
there was no iceberg for the first 4 days.
Exactly, but if you look at the chart, it's a steady downward spiral through the Bush administration, which ended in a... implosion of over 700,000 jobs a month.
And once again, Republicans, if your captain hit the iceberg, you do not get to blame the rescue boat.
Thank you. Bob in, or Rob, excuse me, in Portland. Hey, Rob, welcome. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, about the guy who just called about the airplanes, the trying to build the airplanes, the tax cuts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the same people who say that they don't want, you know, big government and blah, blah, blah. Isn't basically the Bush tax cuts just a big handout from the government?
Indeed it is. It's a handout for rich hobos.
Yeah,
I prefer to call it redistribution of wealth.
Yeah.
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 So, I mean,
exactly.
You got to pick and choose. What do you want?
Yep, exactly.
It's redistribution of wealth from the poor to the rich.
Exactly.
These are the people who like to say freedom isn't free, and they're so angry that rich people have to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, freedom isn't free, John, and that's why you got to have your junk handled at the airport now. It's the way it goes. Dave and Reno.
That's the most action I get.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm a fierce independent. I'm not impressed with the Democrats or the Republicans. I don't.
That makes you a fierce majority of Americans.
Probably, yeah. I'm not impressed. You know, the Republicans make claims and they never follow through. The Democrats make claims, they never really follow through either. They're both spending too much, even though the Republicans claim they're not. Please. As far as the tax cuts, I think extend them to those who make $250,000, but not those who make like $500,000. Because myself, I've never gotten a job from a poor person, and they're the ones who, you know, the guys making about $250,000, they're the ones that are doing the R&D that are, you know, helping businesses. And frankly, the
Dave,
rest
I've
of the
read,
world...
I read some statistics yesterday, though.
Uh-huh.
When they talk about the small business thing, I mean, in that bracket you're talking about, it's $700 a month or a year, that
right.
someone, it's not enough to hire somebody. You know, I mean, it's just,
right.
I think
but
this...
If you look at the top 10% of earners pay 70% of the taxes. They pay
because
more
because they make proportionately more.
Right. So I what I'm saying is that I hear people saying, well, those rich people just make too much money, so we need to tax them more.
No, it's not taxing them more. It's taxing them fairly to the in proportion.
Well, they are being taxed fairly. What are you talking about? 70%?
Excuse me. If you look through, we go over this every day, but I mean, they used to pay 70%. They paid 90% when Eisenhower was president. We're talking about somewhere in the 30s now. We're arguing over 36% or mm-hmm. whatever.
Going to 39%.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm reading in the Times and other sources. They're paying 70%.
No, they're not. No, that's not correct.
What?
They don't mean
paying that much.
They're not paying at a 70% rate.
From like 66%
not the
to 69%.
Rate. I'm saying the total amount of taxes being paid, they're paying 70% of the taxes. The middle class is paying.
Dave,
the other
how
30,
is it fair that a hedge fund manager
none.
Pays proportionally less than his secretary? Of course, obviously he makes
totally
a lot more.
I agree with that. I totally because my stepmom worked for a truck line for 30 years. Her boss 1 year made $1 million and paid nothing. She made like, oh, I don't know, $35,000 and paid $2,500 in taxes.
Well, thank you. It's like Leona Helmsley used to say, taxes are for the little people.
Right.
You know?
Right. I will say this, though. Your sidekicks, they're awesome.
Yes.
Those guys probably could have careers in voiceovers in Hollywood. You,
yes.
However,
yes.
are a hack.
Dick, thank you.
You
what?
Bet. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Wow. What was that all about?
I'll take it as a compliment.
Yikes. I thought I was having a perfectly reasonable discussion about taxes, and I got totally thrown under the bus.
Ah!
You...
Oh, my God.
Oh, why did you let him go?
You just let him go just a couple of seconds too long.
He seems to be done. He was done. I, however, was offered a nice day. You
I
have a nice day.
I dropped my talking points.
You
yeah.
hack.
I'm going to defend Bush's tax cuts, then call you a hack.
You two will obviously have a much better day, given that you have a chance at actual careers.
A voiceover career.
I aspire to hack them.
Wow.
He seems so pleasant, yet that was so mean.
I'll take career advice from a far-right lunatic in Reno any day.
Just pretending to be an independent. I think you were right. You didn't see Chris started stroking his chin thoughtfully when the man said he was... Because that's generally how they start. You know, I don't... I'm independent. Mm-hmm. I don't think either side is...
Mm-hmm. Well, always.
Yes.
Always.
And but, here come the right-wing talking points.
At the same time, that guy had a more progressive plan than Chuck Schumer did, because he wants to tax from 500 grand up, which I think most Americans would agree with.
Well,
Schumer wants to raise it to a million.
Yeah, I didn't understand why I had to be sacrificed at the end of that call.
I
was the human sacrifice.
That.
It's because you're a hack.
You were asking for it.
Apparently. You guys don't care because you got complimented.
Yeah.
You're like, you're kind of right about that.
I think he thought I was Jim Ward, actually. That was, well, you know it.
No, you could have a career voiceover.
By the way,
voiceover.
Jim Ward does have a very successful voiceover career,
indeed
sir.
He does.
Hmm.
How rough.
You know, as we say in the polka community, hate is going to hate.
Lisa in Washington, D.C., you're on The Hack Show. Hi, Lisa. You're talking to The Hack.
Oh, my God. This is directly addressed to Dick in Portland or whoever that was. Well, why not keep the taxes as they are, but only give the cuts to those who can demonstrate that they've created a new job? Like they could put in the W-4 of the employee they gave a new job to. It could last over a couple of years.
Well, you know, Lisa, that's exactly, that's what I was thinking yesterday. Is there some way to make these companies, I mean, seriously, that are sitting on trillions of dollars and not hiring and getting, break after break after break.
Yeah.
And also, I do read Frank Luntz's book, and one critique that he makes, which I think is legitimate, is that Democrats always frame things in terms of the mechanism by which they're going to do something. Like, we talk in terms of tax cuts, and they always talk in terms of the end result.
Right.
And I think
that doesn't hit people emotionally.
Yep.
Right.
Right. And also, I think they do kind of have a point that we don't want to make it sound like we're penalizing somebody for being rich, although I think we should.
Just between you and I. All right, the famous voiceover actor Jim Ward is here, so the show will be 40% less hacky after the top of the hour. 58 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Stephanie Miller Show. Not with 100% less Stephanie.
Yeah, 100% less hack.
God, sorry, I was late. I was trying to make the show less hacky.
You just sat in your chair, and the people on Ustream saw it.
Hello, everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Did you remember to wipe?
Yes. Barely.
Did you wash your hands?
Yes. 6 minutes after the hour.
Let's put a camera in there.
Yeah.
That'd be a show.
1-800.
Oh, God.
Steph12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Successful voiceover artists and talented.
Well, we'll see.
Co-host Chris LaVoy or voice deity Jim Ward. John Fugelsang, of course.
It's Tuesdays with Tugeltan.
Exactly. Tuesdays with John
Fugelsang. I'm your East Coast hack.
That's right.
And I, of course, am the aforementioned hack from our right wing caller.
I think,
wow, he was very pleasant when he said it, though.
I think they should just have a computer calling all the right-wing talking points. I am an independent. I look at things from both sides. I have just stumbled across your show. I think Democrats and Republicans are both responsible.
I am a small business owner.
I have never got a job from a poor person.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you hear that one, you know.
I could not have created all the jobs I have created without the Bush tax cuts. Oh.
Remember when I was saying that right-wingers, you know, when confronted with smart progressives, their thoughts seem to scatter like a cream puff thrown into a fan?
Yes, that was a weird analogy, may I just say.
I appreciate it.
I think that's exactly what happened with that caller. He ran out of bullets, and so he threw the gun.
He threw the gun at me.
The whip hit the
you're
fan.
You're a hack. Okay.
Yeah,
okay, I'm still right about taxes, though. I may be a hack, but I'm a hack that understands.
He ran out of talking points. He had no idea what to say to a smart progressive such as yourself.
I'm sorry, Dave. I've run out of talking points. This conversation can no longer serve any purpose.
Dave, you're a hack.
They really do. You start to
9,000.
You notice the talking points. I'm like, oh yeah, here we go. It's the I am a small. By the way, I don't think probably any small business owner has ever called the show. You know why? Because they're busy running a small business. They don't have time to call radio show hacks like me.
You're a small business owner, and you
indeed I am.
You're on the radio.
Indeed, I am. I'm a hack that's smart enough to hire talented people around me.
Like Minikiss, it's a small business. It's a very, very small business.
That's the best Minikiss joke.
All right. All right, time for Science Stack. Why?
I can't listen to the original version now. It's too pokey for me.
It's too slow.
Come on. Pep it up a little bit. Okay, Science Stack. Why? Well, yesterday, because everybody's talking about the fetus in a jar from the George Bush book.
Yes.
Which I'm going to defend, by the way, but go on.
I know many of you may be thinking this morning, hey, what can I do with my baby's foreskin? And it's interesting that you should ask.
What?
This from CafeMom.com, which you know I'm on there all the time, Chris.
Oh, yeah, because you go to cafes and you're a mom.
Sure.
Exactly.
That's how I learned to make that macrame bird feeder that I made on the oxygen show I had.
Out of foreskin?
No, that was... we should probably reset that. I was standing in line at the supermarket before you hired me back, and there was Stephanie on the little screen showing me how to make a suet bird feeder.
You're like, hey, that's that hack I used to work with.
Yeah, and I'm like, when did she get crafty?
Because she's I got paid to pretend like I was. Anyway, I did a million baby foreskin recipes.
Yeah.
On that channel.
It goes so good in a placenta smoothie.
I think Chelsea Handler calls them the cable vagina networks. Yes. Regardless of your stance on circumcision, Cafe Mom writes, some people choose to have it done. It isn't a debate I want to get into now, but I do want to talk about where those foreskins go. Unlike a lot of things, they're generally not tossed out with medical waste, and sometimes you can even sign a release form for the selling of the skin when you consent to the circumcision. So where exactly do those foreskins go?
Wow, the Moyles are cleaning up.
Where do all the foreskins go?
Where have all the foreskins gone?
It turns out...
Right now, my mom is loving this segment.
They can make you pretty and heal your burns.
Okay, then.
Not all cells are fully dedicated and haven't fully developed into their identifying protein, so they can be used to help cultivate skin and skin byproducts like collagen with very little chance of rejection. Another use for foreskins is to create bioskin grafts for burn victims and ulcers and other large area open wound sites. There you go. Wow. In case you've been wanting what to do with all
and
those
And, of course,
foreskins.
You can always donate your foreskin to a man who wants his back.
Yeah.
Be a little tight, though.
Yeah. Not everybody has a choice, you know.
And not a, no, I'm sure I objected in my own way when I was 3 years old.
Yeah. I think I objected very loudly.
Yeah,
the AMA said that there's no health benefit to slicing the most sensitive part of a man's body off of him. So, sorry.
Yes.
Oops.
That you probably said what that airline traveler did. Do not touch my junk. You tried to say it in a baby way.
Yes. Indeed I did. I said, no helmet, anteater.
John Fugel saying, your thoughts on the fetus in a jar from the George Bush book.
Well, look, it's a tragic story, and I don't think it's as, it sounds really creepy and Southern Gothic, but in reality, Barbara had miscarried, and she showed George what a baby looked like. They had to, see, she had it in the jar because they had to bring it into the hospital. And I'm wondering if they had to bring it into the hospital to prove that they hadn't terminated the pregnancy. But that's why she had it in a jar. It's not like it was, you know, they have this weird lab where Igor collects the embryos. And so I
you
think
brought
they,
me a bad embryo!
She had to bring it into the hospital, and I probably to prove that it hadn't been terminated. And so if she had it, why not show your teenage son what one looks like?
I think that's when you started drinking, probably just right that day, I'm guessing.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Mm-hmm. Mom, give me a B&B. I don't know what it is, but I want one right now. About 10 of them.
Bourbon and bong water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Timothy in Atlanta.
Aquavita water.
Tim in Atlanta on the Bush tax cuts. Hi, Timothy.
Oh, Stephanie?
Yes.
I would remind everyone that both large Bush tax cuts in 01 and 03 were passed through reconciliation.
Thank you. I mentioned that earlier.
And it's important because it avoids a filibuster. So right now, today, the Democrats in the Senate could pass temporary tax cuts for everyone, including the middle class, with just 50 votes plus Vice President.
You know, by the way, Tim, I talk about this all the time. Why don't they do that? Isn't that wouldn't that politically be the smartest thing to do?
I don't think their corporate masters would like that. And both sides have corporate masters, unfortunately, at this point.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, but
you know,
I mean,
they also could have done it with a public option.
I got an email from someone saying that I don't know if this is true, but reconciliation can only be used once per Congress, and it's already been used for health care reform.
Crap.
Hmm. What?
So,
says who?
Maybe that's why. Hmm. You know, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what one listener.
Can we get a
at least for an honest radio show that we just pull things out of our ass.
Well, you know.
We don't know if this is true, but we're just saying it.
But I'm saying that could be a reason why it's not being used or even talked about.
What are you, Daryl Issa?
We should get Michael Moore to call in. He my personal friend Michael Moore sent me a letter. I'm on his mailing list. Yeah. Let's pass some laws before the Republicans head into town. After all, that's what they do.
Yeah.
He talks about renaming some of these bills so they reflect what they actually are. For example, the Give Mom a Raise Act, Paycheck Fairness, Don't Amputate Our Feet Act, Eliminating Disparities in Diabetes Prevention, Access, and Care,
right.
Pay Up BP Act, those kind of things. Stop Foreigners from Hitting Grandma, aka the Elder Abuse Victims Act. He just threw the foreigner thing in because it drives...
Yeah.
Right-wingers crazy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Bill in Clifton, New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to debunk this myth about small businesses. First of all, small businesses are only declared by size. So Bechtel is a small business.
Yeah.
The
right.
Koch brothers is a small business. And that's where most of the money is shifted. And this business about I never got a job from a poor person is total crap. What do you call a small businessman who's mortgaged his house?
Yes, I'm a poor person that's a small business owner. Trust me. Anyone in Progressive
Radio
is.
You have a bridal trail.
Oh, shush.
Right, but most small business people are mortgaged to the hill. They don't have money.
Right.
You know,
they poured everything into the business.
Most small business owners I know are mortgaged to the hill. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, Bill, that's a great point because I mean it is kind of ridiculous and hilarious. You know what companies qualify as quote unquote small businesses? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, right.
Bechtel.
Welcome to the corporate states of America.
Keith in Milwaukee. Hi, Keith.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Go ahead.
First off, you know, I think the secret to passing anything in Congress with this one is to name it the Ronald Reagan this or the Ronald Reagan that.
I mean,
you know, here in Milwaukee, we've got our new governor Scott Walker who wants to cut off the train. So why don't we just call it the Ronald Reagan Express?
Yeah, Keith, that's a great idea. We ought to call it the Ronald Reagan Amnesty Bill. Get comprehensive immigration reform done during the lame duck. We ought to call it
the Economy Enhancement Bill or whatever.
Yes, the Ronald Reagan Salt Treaty.
The Ronald Reagan Expanding Government and Talking to Our Enemies Bill.
Yes, Exactly. The Ronald Reagan zero nukes bill. I like it because it's immature and it's true.
And it's ironic.
There you go again.
No, Republicans don't remember that, proving that memory loss is contagious.
Oh, now there, now, John.
Oh, dear.
Amy in Omaha, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just have some questions about your feelings about the Bush tax cuts in relation to the estate tax, because I just don't understand how you think that you keep throwing out the word fair. They have to pay their fair share. And I just want to give you an example. My father-in-law is a true small business owner. He basically started out 40-plus years ago selling typewriters and then grew to be the owner and CEO of a business that employs, oh, gosh, I don't know, probably about 20-plus people. With his small business, he barely pays himself anything. He's under that $250,000 that you guys keep throwing out and has paid himself very measly salary the entire time.
Uh-huh.
Has a three-bedroom ranch that he's had for 40-plus years that has the same blue bathroom tile that he's had his entire life.
Okay.
He does not spend money on clothes. He saves his money so that he can save it for his family and put back into his business. He has the same suits he's had for 30 years.
But his taxes aren't going up.
Well, let me...
He's under 250, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But he's also 78 years old.
His taxes aren't going up.
And nor should his taxes go up.
He's 78 years old, and from saving his money and not buying a new house, not buying a new car, not buying new suits, putting his money back into his business, and donating money to every single public school...
For which he gets a tax write-off.
Yes, he did.
You're getting to the estate tax,
but
right?
Get to the estate tax.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he has $1 million. If he dies on January 1st, the $1 million that he has saved to give to his six heirs is going to be down to $450,000, which means each of his six heirs is going to get $75,000. And you, for some reason, think that that's fair that a man who has not taken a vacation in 20 years should only have $75,000 to give to each of his heirs. And you think that that's fair because somehow he hasn't paid taxes on that. But let me tell you, he pays taxes on it. Every single quarter he writes a check to the government to pay taxes on it. At the end of the year, he writes more checks to pay taxes on it. He has
You're saying if he dies, he's worth $1 million.
No, he has $1 million because he saved his money. He has not paid. He has not spent money like a crazy loon.
But he's not making $1 million.
No,
per year.
But you're talking. I'm talking about the estate.
The estate.
Tax.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
You know what, Amy? We're going to take a break. Let's research the estate tax right now. We'll talk about this as soon as we continue. 19 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My word! What a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. We were talking to Amy from Iowa before the break, and thank God for the Google, for God's sakes. We've got nothing but fun facts now on the estate tax. So the estate tax, first of all, has nothing to do with the Bush tax cuts.
It is scheduled
to expire January 1st.
Right.
The estate tax, which affects
less than
1% of anybody in the country.
It's the estate tax reduction.
Yes.
That is set to expire, much like the Bush tax cuts, at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
Anyway, so we're looking at this particular case we were just talking about. I'm looking at the chart here. $750,000 to $1 million. The initial taxation is $248,300.
Mm-hmm.
So share a bit over $750,000 to be left. The further taxation is 39% of the excess over $750,000, which is only a few thousand dollars. So,
mm-hmm.
so really, they'd be left with close to $750,000 in this case. But
right.
as Chris was pointing out, you can give away the money while you're still alive.
There's, exactly. If you have a good accountant,
avoid the estate tax altogether.
If you have a good accountant, which you know most people who have $1 million in assets usually do, they use a variety of strategies to mitigate estate taxes, including giving away a large portion of their wealth while they're still alive. Mm-hmm. Individuals can give their children, relatives, and others up to $1 million during their lifetimes without incurring federal gift taxes.
All right then.
In addition, individuals can give away an annual amount without reducing their exemption for gift or estate taxes. In 2010, this year, the annual gift tax exclusion is $13,000 per recipient.
So let me recommend a book called Die Broke, which will tell you exactly the best way. Yes. It's true. It's an actual book you can get on Amazon, and it will tell you the best ways to get rid of your money now so the government can't take it once you're
exactly gone. And so those are the strategies that you can use to mitigate this estate tax.
If you have $1 million and you don't have a good accountant, there's something wrong.
You've stolen it.
I'm not worried about this because I already know in advance when my 87-year-old Republican mother is gone, I will get, according to the family accountant.
Yeah. Yukon Cornelius?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, my people are not good with money. There's no question of any kind.
My maternal grandparents were small business owners. They owned a string of gas stations, and their last business was a Tasty Freeze out in Laverne. And, you know, they were successful with their businesses.
There's only one Tasty Freeze in Laverne?
Well, it doesn't exist anymore.
I used to love Tasty Freeze.
Yeah.
You got the vanilla one with the butterscotch top, thing
it's
that went
tasty and freezing.
Yeah. They taught me how to dip it just right.
Oh.
Yeah, seriously.
And they left you $1 million.
No, they did not. But
I'm not going there with that joke.
But I did get a new car just before they
a
died.
A new Monza.
They were liquidating their assets, and I got a new car.
Cool.
Uh-huh.
Roberto in Chicago, you're on the and they showed you how to dip it just right. Roberto in Chicago, you're on the
ice cream.
Yes.
Hi, Steph.
Hello, Roberto.
Hi. There's so much I have to say. I'm just going to give the people a simple analogy on this presidency. It's like we voted Obama in. He's the people's champ. And halfway through the fights, six rounds, he's been showing us nothing while the Republicans are giving him low blows, rabbit punches, haymakers, you name it. He's taking it off. And at this rate, it seems to me he's going to go all 12 rounds and leave it up to the judges. And the judges are the Supreme Court, the new House of Representatives, and possibly a celebrity judge, Karl Rove. And there's only two scenarios. Either he went into office wanting to do good, and he was told what's what and what he can and can't do, or he went into office hand-in-hand with the Republicans. And there's so much ammunition he could throw at these people. Mm-hmm. Years now, not just him. Nothing's being done.
Yep. All right. Well, Chris, what are you giggling about?
Chess. Now he's boxing.
Chris in Yankton writes, hey, guys, by the way, I think I know why Angry Lady in Omaha is so angry. If her dad hasn't taken a vacation in 30 years, never spent any money on clothes or home or anything, I bet he's a real treat to be around. Oh, how I wish I could enjoy a lovely holiday with that angry, sour, tight-fisted family.
Deborah
Come
Hillich
on, we don't know that.
The estate tax only kicks in for estates over $3.5 million. The caller's dad is not impacted. And Rick Crittenden says estate tax is 45% after the first million. The Republicans said it at that much when they did the estate tax wind down.
Yeah,
okay, so
that didn't smell right to me. I'm like, there's a reason that it only affects less than 1%, something 0. I heard 1% of the American.
My father had 47 kids, and we have to divide. We have to share a nickel. All 47 of us.
Yeah,
and there was one screaming in the background, I think was also screaming, was like, "What? There's going to be nothing left when it gets to me."
Her family has the world's worst financial planner, if they have one at all.
Yeah,
seriously.
It's estates for over $3.5 million or $7 million for married couples.
Okay, then.
All right, then.
So I think she's okay.
So
she has to find somewhere else to redirect her rage.
Yeah.
What's that old joke? My father's last words were, "The money is buried." 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In the unlikely event that you encounter something that is not covered here, find a woman named
Stephanie Miller.
Get her advice, and then do the opposite.
It is. That's right. There'll be a void. One chick giving really bad advice after Dr. Laura leaves radio.
That's right.
I can fill that void.
And right now we're giving financial advice.
Yes. For instance, Brian says you can also buy estate tax insurance, which will protect your estate when you die.
Well, there you go.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we don't mean to sound like, you know, uncompassionate conservatives, but you could also get a job.
Yeah. You didn't earn that money, lady.
I am owed that money.
Yeah, she's really, she's it's displaced anger. Her dad can give her the money before he dies if he wants
to. And I hate that blue tile.
She seemed to have some issues with that blue tile.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn blue tile.
And with never...
She was like Sybil with the green kitchen. He has this blue tile, and he won't give me the money!
And he never took us on vacations!
You know, God bless her dad for being a hard worker, but it's not as bleak as she thinks. Right. I think her dad's feeding her a line.
Yeah, could be.
Or...
Oh, honey, I'd love to give you some inheritance, but the damn estate tax.
You know how it is. It's those damn Democrats.
Or she's feeding us a Republican talking point.
Perhaps.
There's that.
Perhaps.
In Omaha? Come on.
Oh,
the deuce you say.
Let's go to Andrew in Orlando. Hi, Andrew. Hello. Hi, Andrew.
While you're handing out financial advice, I was wondering if you could help me with some job advice.
Yes. Oh.
My boss, I know we're going to have a company dinner today, and my boss is going to probably mention the new word added into the Oxford English Dictionary, repudiate.
Right, repudiate.
Yes, yes, it's been a big week for Sarah Palin. Not only did she have almost 5 million people tune in to watch Sarah Palin's Alaska, but repudiate has made the Oxford American Dictionary.
And I would like to know what I can do so that I don't either bite my tongue so hard it goes flying across the room and someone might notice that, or explain what tongue-in-cheek is and possibly lose my job, you know, because he's going to say she's a smart cookie, and I'm going to be like, oh, she's about as smart as a cookie.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I think we need to call in an airstrike on the Oxford Dictionary Factory.
Yeah, you can respond. The same people who warned us Ebonics would destroy the country gave us Palin and W.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Chris, you said highest highest-rated show.
Highest-rated debut show on TLC ever.
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you a question, though.
Sarah Palin's Alaska. And by the way, all the animal rights groups are saying, you got too damn close to those bears, you moron.
It's also against Alaska state laws, I think I heard.
Well, I talked to Todd, we decided we ought to skedaddle, perhaps.
But I'm a mama grizzly, so I'll be fine. I'll just repudiate the bears.
Did any of you guys see Sarah Palin's primetime special on Fox News about Americans in service?
No.
No.
No one saw it. And it was on Fox News. Believe me, the ratings are not going to stay high for this thing. Sarah Palin has a 55% approval rating in her own state, and the Murkowski family has thrown her under the Iditarod this week. Please let her run. Please. Every liberal I know is praying she runs.
Yeah. By the way, how is the tiny baby wolf candidate doing? Let's see. This is the brain. Election workers are scheduled to continue counting ballots. About 8,800 ballots were to be tallied today, after election officials said Lisa Murkowski has emerged from several days of counting with a 1,706 vote lead over GOP.
Wait a minute, but this ballot says Lisa Murkowski. Huh?
Clearly, intent there was Joe Miller.
There's an M in it.
Literally, he's challenging ballots that say Lisa Murkowski spelled correctly, but the S is a little... It looks socialistic. It's
looks
a cursive.
It looks a little hanky.
Looks like a Cyrillic letter.
From the people who brought you Jews for Buchanan.
Yeah. They challenge one that just said Murkowski, because how do we... Maybe they meant someone else, besides
maybe
clearly it was
Murkowski.
Code for Joe Miller. That's what it was code for. There was no Lisa in front of the Murkowski. What a tiny baby wolfy sore loser.
Joe Miller's going to have to go back to fighting cartels with Tubbs.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let's go to the Pam in Phoenix on the estate tax again. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Mooks.
Hello.
Back to the estate tax. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. We had a personal experience with my mother-in-law when she died. She had the misfortune of living in Connecticut. And at that point, this is a state that is in a seven-figure estate, okay, and there's three beneficiaries and grandchildren. And we bypassed the federal estate tax. We were at $3.5 million.
Well, hello, fancy pants.
Hello, yes. Well, anyway, long story short, when the estate taxes went away federally, the states stepped in. So Connecticut taxed that estate at 47.5%. There was no ceiling, like on so many other, you know, like with the federal, there's been ceilings. So if you were over the $2.5 million allowed, you were taxed as of dollar one.
Hmm.
So it, beware, it may not, what's going to happen when the Fed tax comes back and the state estate taxes are still in place? Because our state, Arizona, does not have an inheritance tax. My brother, who lives in Connecticut, also got nailed. Not only did the estate get taxed, he got taxed for inheritance tax.
Hmm.
So you have, they say 1%, they're talking federal, but the fact is a lot of these estates, a lot of the states came in and said, well, we're not going to lose that money. And Connecticut has
to. Yeah, no, I mean, I know, you know, property tax, for instance, is like double in New York what it is in California.
Sure, and I don't have a problem with paying taxes. It's just that to go along blindly believing that, oh, well, okay, you have $1 million and it's going to be tax-free, you better find out what state you live in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's
well, if you don't know what state you live in, then you need more help than just a tax attorney.
Well, you know, if you have $1 million in assets, you need to have a tax attorney.
Yeah.
To help shelter you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If you don't, you're being an irresponsible citizen.
What the hell's happening in the politics in the America? Sarah Palin, of course, in a reality show. That's her, apparently. That's her platform to run for president. Bill Clinton is going to be in The Hangover 2. He's filmed a cameo.
Yeah.
I just hope he doesn't have a nude scene with Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis?
Zach.
Yeah, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Snuffleupagus?
Clinton will he play himself in the comedy, shot his brief appearance on Saturday in Bangkok, which makes a hard man humble or
whatever.
Something. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He gets his kicks above the waistline now.
Sunshine. Really renamed that town. It's,
no.
I don't think it means the same in their native language as it does here.
Right.
Can I tell you, I don't...
Just saying.
He gave a thumbs up, by the way, to George Bush's book.
Yeah.
I'm not for this whole palling around ex-presidents club.
Oh, you don't like their kissy
face
club?
No. One's a war criminal. The other left us the biggest surplus.
Hangover.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Hangover 2 means our current economy.
Yes. He gave the thumbs up to George Bush's little plagiarized book. All right. George W. said that Clinton and he are buddies, he told Candy Crowley. He said, first of all, we're born a month apart. We're now members of the former President's Club. Mm-hmm. We've done speaking engagements. I generally like them.
And we sit around and talk about how great NAFTA was.
Yeah.
Guess. Oh, by the way, guess who thinks what Bush did was torture? The UN torture rapporteur. Who knows a thing or two about torture?
The what?
Rapporteur. That's what they're calling him, the UN, the United Nations Special.
That sounds fancy.
What is it,
Stephanie?
Rapporteur.
How do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Ragmop.
He firmly stated waterboarding is torture, immoral, and illegal. He said the legal memos authorizing waterboarding that Bush hides behind were completely flawed, and there isn't any question under international law that what Bush authorized was torture.
Bush wanted a lawyer to lie to him. He needed a boyfriend.
All right.
Reagan instituted a ban on torture. I mean, you know, we have to keep repeating these talking points 100 times. It's so morally outrageous. We sentenced Japanese colonels to 15 years hard labor for waterboarding. It's not simulated drowning. It's drowning and stopping before the guy dies.
Yep. I like, whose idea was it earlier? I think this is what we push for on the lame duck. Is that we introduce and push through a bunch of bills, the Reagan anti-torture bill, the Reagan amnesty bill, comprehensive immigration reform, the Reagan zero nukes bill. What else? We push through a lot of socialistical stuff with the right. Republicans have shown they're very easily confused by names. They're like,
Reagan, okay.
Friendly forests and a clear sky, okay.
Yes.
Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Oh, good morning, Alabaster Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
You know, with the elections and my hometown team being horrified yesterday, I need something to take my mind off it, so I need to ask a very important question.
Yes.
Very important. What you wearing today, girl?
Well, you could tune into Ustream and find out.
I'm wearing nothing now that I'm on Ustream.
Oh, well,
she's
then.
She's got a T-shirt and a hat.
I'll just take
And Uggs. Stop ruining the mystery. All right, go ahead, Kevin.
I'll just take a second to imagine those P90X tone alabaster legs crossing and crossing.
Notice I didn't mention pants.
I'm not wearing pants.
Okay. But no, you guys have more access to political people than I do. I was just wondering, because you were talking about estate tax and just made me think of taxes in general. Has anyone told you why, with polls showing that people wouldn't mind the Bush tax cut expiring on the richest 1%, 2%? One minute I hear the administration saying, yeah, we're going to hold the line, and the next minute I hear some, well, we might negotiate. Can you tell me what's the reason why they won't, not only him, but the Congress won't hold the line on that? I genuinely don't get it.
They're Democrats.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, Ed Schultz said this, let them expire. Let them all expire and let the Republicans, you know, come up with a plan for once and sell it to the American people. I mean, the problem is...
They're plainly to blame Democrats.
The problem is that, you know, it's the middle class tax cuts that, you know, that are going to... The president's been very clear about that he wants, so that's what they're trying to get done, is getting those extended before they...
By the way, I think horrified should be in the Oxford Dictionary.
Me too.
That's
me too.
Yeah.
I would repudiate anyone that says...
You have to wait till Palin says it.
No. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My opinion is, you're nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The Cowboys are at my place. It was late. I didn't want to drive home. Stay here. It's cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. 50
Where
minutes.
Has Paula Cole's career gone?
Now, come on. What did she got thrown under the bus there.
Yeah.
Along with the baby foreskin.
What did she ever do to you?
Larry from Riverside writes, Staff,
there was that.
I think the reason the Republicans are pushing for a temporary extension of the tax cuts is they know what's coming. The economy is improving. In the next 2 years, all the numbers will be much better. If they can get the Democrats to do the temporary tax cut, they can campaign on how the tax cuts improved the economy over those 2 years and how the Democrats resisted.
Exactly.
If the Democrats don't extend these tax cuts to the rich, it'll be a much clearer picture of what they've done, turned the economy around. We need to let the president know all he has done could fall into the Republican laps as their success at the tax cuts. Larry from Riverside. What's the thought on all that? Exactly.
Because if the federal government is flush and the Treasury is flush because these tax cuts have expired, that hurts the Republicans.
Mm-hmm. John in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Regarding the Bush tax cuts, I was curious because you had called that Republican doctor a hypocrite because he was asking about government-funded health care.
Well, he ran on repealing government-run health care, yes, and he's been screaming for where his is.
Can I ask then every Democrat that opposes the Bush tax cuts, like you and John, you guys don't accept the Bush tax cuts, right?
Yes, that's correct.
I'm not a Democrat, but go on.
Well, so do you take the Bush tax cuts or do you give them back to the government?
John, it's a ridiculous argument that people make.
Not, it's logic.
Don't really have a choice.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
oh, yes, you do.
That's such
a
spacious argument we must be hypocrites if we don't give the tax money back. I mean,
why isn't it the same as the doctor who?
Hey,
wants
look,
the government health care?
A lot of the people I know that are Democrats, as you say, that make a lot of money, they're for the tax cuts. They're going to going to pay more money.
I said earlier on the show, sir, that the first time I was ever in that tax bracket under Bill Clinton, I was very happy that I was able to pay my share.
Right.
I was thrilled that I was in that tax bracket and able to pay back because freedom's not free.
But, John, if it's hypocritical to want government health care, why isn't it hypocritical to accept the Bush tax cuts if you oppose them so fervently?
To accept, I didn't vote on them. I'm not in Congress.
First of all, we're not in the top 1%. I got news for you.
Yeah, I'm not in the top 2% either. I'd love to be.
Wait, No. So you don't make over $250,000?
I'm not going to discuss my personal income with you, sir.
Okay, but if you do, and if you oppose the Bush tax cuts so fervently, and you think they're bad for the country.
What I'm telling you is a lot of Democrats that do make that or that make more than that are you know, absolutely not hypocrites.
Sure,
they are campaigning to get rid of these tax cuts.
That's right. I see your argument,
that's the wheel of left-wing hypocrites, right?
It's not hypocrisy, sir. I hear your argument, but you're hearing what Stephanie said, these are the people who are fighting for themselves to pay more tax cuts. Barbara Streisand herself, the liberal icon.
Well,
what do you think,
John, when you see Warren Buffett on TV saying, I don't want this tax cut and I don't need it and I don't think it's good for the country?
Speaking of Warren Buffett, do you know this fallacy about Warren Buffett's secretary paying higher taxes than him?
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you about that?
Okay.
You know why it's false?
A higher tax rate, not higher taxes.
Of course, yes.
Higher tax rate.
He's talking about
proportionally more.
He's talking about capital gains dividends, which are the second phase. That's money that's been taxed twice. He doesn't pay a higher. If Warren Buffett makes $1 million, he pays more than his secretary.
Of course, he pays more. Okay. we're talking about proportionally and what is fair. And okay.
So he wants you to go over your tax returns and figure out exactly how much less tax.
Yes. How much you overpaid.
Yes.
Or
underpaid.
Underpaid and pay it back to the Treasury? It's just absurd.
I don't think the Treasury works that way.
No.
Here's some money. Listen, these are the people.
Go away.
Liberal to the people who voted for Obama knowing that he was going to let these tax rates expire. And again, I hate to repeat myself on your show, Steffers, but this is Bush's tax increase. This was designed to expire this year.
Right.
They
used
the Clinton surplus to pay for it.
Right.
The surplus is gone.
We got too much surplus.
We are letting them expire on schedule.
And that was
a Republican plan he signed.
That
I think the biggest question that has arisen from today's show.
Well, you should give it back then.
Is do I make a lot of money or am I a hack? Which is it? Is it both?
You're a hack who makes a lot of money.
How about that?
I think more importantly,
is that something new?
I mean, that's a trick in and of itself.
Hmm?
Kudos.
Try being this big a hack and making that.
Kudos to you, madam.
You try that.
I have a PhD in hackocracy.
Somebody's reminded me of something I said once that I had no memory of. They saw my house a long time ago, and I said, it's amazing how much money you can make failing in television.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll never forget that. I was like, let that be a lesson to you, son.
Oh, TV money.
Before it implodes.
Yeah.
But Joe Scarborough is getting that TV money.
TV money does not exist in radio.
No.
Well, not on our side of the aisle anyway.
No. Wolf Blitzer is making a Soul Train Awards appearance.
He already made it.
He's a longtime fan of Soul Train, which is just...
What?
I'm a soul man.
I heard the OJs has got a show on C-SPAN.
He did the Doogie Dance from Dougie... He learned how to do it from Dougie Fresh and accepted an award on behalf of Eminem.
What's the Doogie Dance?
I don't really know. Wolf Blitzer is hipper than we are? I don't...
I doubt that, no.
And we'll have to leave it there.
Coming
to you on a dusty road. Good loving, I got a truckload. And when you get it, you got something. So don't worry, because I'm coming. And we'll have to leave it there.
And why does he sound so constipated?
Because I live on a diet of hard cheese and drywall. I haven't had a bowel movement since the Johnson administration. The Andrew Johnson administration.
Thank you.
Play in the hits.
Paul Begala, what do you think?
Well, Wolf,
we'll have to leave it there.
But I didn't even say anything yet.
In Jim Ward lore, also, for some reason, the funniest part of that is the right before drywall. Mm-hmm. We don't know why.
Hard cheese and drywall.
Yeah, because that's the part that sounds the most constipated. Yeah. Like, you can't even get up. Drywall.
Just picturing it makes you go.
Yeah, it makes
things
his sphincter.
That make you go.
His sphincter snaps shut right before drywall.
Oh, stop with the imagery.
Hard cheese.
Enough. Oh, you. Think of the children.
Ooh. The well, children are the ones appreciating this conversation.
We are thinking of the children.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, speaking of Jim Ward impressions, D-listed writing, Keith Richards once busted a Swedish journalist in the head.
What?
Recently.
D-listed writing, Keith Richards is a 300-year-old zombie who's made entirely of bone dust and fire-roasted pig skins, but he's still got it. Came face-to-face with one of his arch rivals, a Swedish journalist who had given the Stones a bad review one time, two out of five stars.
You were really amateurish. You cannot play a polka, can you?
And apparently Keith hit him over the head before shouting, "You're lucky to get out of here alive."
It's great that Keith's so up on the Swedish press.
Yeah.
What?
This just happened last week.
I'm going to kick you right in the Swedish meatballs.
How would you know you're being warned by Keith Richards? He couldn't understand what he's saying. You're going to do what if I don't want?
I'm warning you, man. I'm going to take
Might be hard to understand what the warning is.
Yeah.
It's like when you get that, the warning on the plane and you can't understand it because of the, you know. So I'm just saying, I should do what? Because why?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing fire. Ring off.
The important that I do what? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What? 6 minutes after the hour, just watching the guy on CNN that was caught wanking himself in the park.
Richard Quest. Yes, my quest was to have a wank in the midst of Central Park with a noose around my neck, and I did it.
Good for you.
Now I'm reporting on the royal family once again.
Prince William is engaged to his longtime girlfriend. I don't know the Queen.
Engaged to that lovely girl, Kate Middleton. It's about time the little wanker got serious. Parading about in Nazi uniforms and the like.
I'm just hoping Harry runs the stag party.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Use stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward. And John Fugelsang, all 3 hours in the New York Bureau, because it's Tuesdays with...
Tugelsang.
Tugelsang.
Indeed. Tuesdays with Tugelsang.
Because he's busy on Friday.
That's right.
All right.
He's going to be in Charlotte.
I'll be in Charlotte.
Charlotte.
How does Charlotte
and you're going to be... Are you going to be appearing in Charlotte?
I'll be performing at the Darkness to Light Gala, which is an organization that fights childhood sexual abuse.
Oh, very cool.
By the way,
that'll be a funny, funny show.
Yeah, I bet. Go visit my tight-fisted Republican mother and see if... ask her what kind of inheritance I'm going to get.
Oh, you'll get none because I'm proposing to her.
I discussed her tipping habits. Well, she she leaves a dime.
Oh, Stephanie, you don't have to leave paper money.
Oh, Steffi, that's too much.
If I married your mother and took all your inheritance, that would be the ultimate punking.
That would be. That'd be very funny.
I'm working on it.
Oh, Steffi, they get paid. Okay. All right.
What is the minimum wage in North Carolina?
I don't know. All right.
It's
what's this?
Confederate dollars.
Yet another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph Show.
What?
The Steph sponsors. Why? Lo May writes, Steph, I hung out with my pal Jennifer this weekend. I asked how her husband Richard was doing. To my surprise, she said he looks fabulous. He's been working out at doing this P90X thing. Out of excitement, I interrupted, you mean the Stephanie Miller P90X?
Computer says yes.
Yes. To which she said he's ripped. I was a bit incredulous at age 50. He had transformed so much, but very curious. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I couldn't wait to see an actual P90X body. Other than the TV commercial, I've never actually seen a P90X body. I suggested Jen invite Richard to join us for dinner. As soon as he sat down, I said, why don't you, I can't ask you to take off your shirt in this restaurant, so show me your arms. I want to see the P90X body. He happily obliged and made a muscle with his arm. It was an awesome muscle. My daughters were very impressed because we were walking away, and they said, wow, Mom, instead of a clump, he has a bump. Oh, that's so cute. Go P90X, Lomé and her little daughters.
I'd get a P90X. I want a P90X, but I'm afraid the ladies would miss this rugged, chiseled Don Knotts torso I have now.
All right.
Oh, you snorted.
Pardon me.
Oh, dear.
Oh, pardon me, and an apology to Pete. He's the guy that called earlier, Jim, that has an airplane.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Dear Miss Miller, you hung up on me when I had a very valid point. Because of the Bush-era tax breaks, I personally own a Columbia 350, a very fast single-engine airplane that took up 4,000 man-hours to create. Granted,
wow, he must have a small... Sounds like a penis extension.
So because of the Bush tax cuts, he bought a plane. He has a plane.
Granted, without these tax breaks, I would still own an airplane. But it would be a Cessna 182.
Which is not...
Oh, you poor
thing. Which wouldn't
thing.
Have generated
yeah,
a batch of new ones.
Chicks don't dig that.
Pete, we apologize. Cessna. I apologize.
Well, I was impressed when you said you were a pilot, but a Cessna 182?
Jeez.
Whatever.
I'm so brokenhearted, his taxes might go up.
Yeah.
I'd love to cut his taxes and add $700 billion to the deficit so we can cut more school funding.
Mm-hmm.
All right. By the way, speaking of flying, here's a headline I can love. Fed-up passengers demand child-free flights. Oh, could it be I could one time in my life not fly Screaming Baby Airlines? The New York Times voted some of its coverage to another of those controversial airline topics, children on planes. Once again, passengers are apparently voicing their concerns about children in the cabin. Some of them propose to outfit planes with a child-free zone.
Yay!
To which I say...
Or they could have like a hermetically sealed nursery section, which
how about that?
From which no sound.
The John Travolta movie, it's Boy in a Plastic
nice.
Bubble. He's a pilot. Why hasn't he thought of this? Why can't there be a hermetically sealed bubble where they can keep the children in there?
Do you have any movie references that aren't from the 70s?
No. They can put them in. It'll be fun. It'll be like the Chuck E. Cheese thing with the colored balls. Just put them in there.
Right. Down into the luggage compartment.
The luggage. Somewhere. Yes. The luggage. Something.
You may have to check your baggage on another plane, but,
That'll be great. So after they take naked pictures of your kids.
I do believe the children are the future, though. Particularly. Huh? Oh, do we have this audio? Do we have this audio?
What audio? Oh, yes.
Yes. Jay McDowell, a teacher in Howell, Michigan, was temporarily suspended without pay earlier this month after telling a student wearing a Confederate flag and a student making anti-gay remarks to get out of his class. At a school board meeting on Friday, openly gay 14-year-old high school student Graham Taylor came to McDowell's defense, thanking the teacher for doing an amazing thing in a town that is home to the KKK and urging the school board to give McDowell his pay and reverse the disciplinary action. The inspiring video, it's rocketing around the interwebs, tubes. Go, Graham. It's your birthday.
So, how can you do the Pledge of Allegiance while wearing a Confederate flag?
Is that the flag you're pledging? Yeah, listen to some of this. Listen how amazing this kid is.
He's a teacher at Heartland, and he tells me about things that go on in this area, and it seems like a nice community. I myself am gay, and I'm a young person, and that can cause lots of trouble. And when you hear things like Dr. King's speech that one day he wanted his grandchildren, his posterity, to not be judged on the color of their skin but the content of their character, I hope that one day we too can be judged on the content of our character and not who we love. Howell is the headquarters for the Ku Klux Klan. Does that really sound great on your racism record? The fact that they chose this city to come into? And you probably want to get rid of that. So how would you like more headlines of Howell denies gays, Howell doesn't protect them? This teacher, whom I fully support, finally stood up and said something. I've been in rooms, in classrooms, where children have said the worst kinds of things, the kinds of things that helped drive me to a suicide attempt when I was only 9 years old. These are the things that hurt a lot. There's a silent Holocaust out there in which an estimated 6 million gay people every year kill themselves. Is this really the environment we want for a school? Do we really want this on our record? Now, I'm saying that the best thing you can do right now is just give him his pay for that day and just reverse the disciplinary actions. He did an amazing thing. He did something that's inspired a lot of people. And whenever... ever I have a teacher stand up for me like that, they change in my eyes. I support Jay McDowell, and I hope you do too.
Kids, wicked smart.
What a breath.
Oh, for a day when it's not considered gay to be that smart.
What a breath. He's actually a 38-year-old midget. Okay.
All right, Mary.
Sorry, little gay person.
Yeah, little gay person.
Mary in Seattle. Hello, Mary.
Hey, Steph, you hack. How are you?
I thank you. I'm very hacky this morning.
And
go ahead.
I did the voiceovers in the background.
Yeah.
that guy. I'm so still just. Ugh. Anyway, So I wondered if you saw Countdown last night. Anybody there see Howard Fineman on Countdown?
I think I missed last night, which I must is very unusual, but go ahead.
So get the clip. You can get the clip online from yesterday, excuse me. But I just was so discouraged because he was talking about why the Democrats in Congress are not going, excuse me, are not going to fight for the tax cuts to expire. And he said that he talked to some of them yesterday, and he said that they said they've lost faith in the idea that they could control the debate or the narrative. They're afraid of some type of confrontation with the Republicans, in which say the president, you know, vetoes this, they can override the veto, and they're afraid that they can't deal with the consequences. They've just basically lost their nerve.
Like they had a lot to start with, unfortunately.
I know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't know what we can do, but I guess what I'm saying is if everybody would call their Congress people today and just say, look, you hacks.
Yes.
Man up.
That hack Stephanie Miller told me to call you.
They have a chance now to really make a difference before they go out of office, those that are lame ducks. And I'm just encouraging everybody. I've done it, and I've asked a lot of people to do it. And I just think, you know, we can't give up. And,
good for you.
I can't believe these people.
What are they afraid of?
Yeah, I mean, good for you. Thank you.
They're going to say bad things about us before we lose our
jobs.
Maybe
we'll get voted out of office.
Oh, too late.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to
By the way, there's a correction to something you said earlier. The dance is not pronounced Doug. It's pronounced Doug.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sure.
Okay.
Norman in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Norm.
Hello, Stephanie. Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
My first time calling.
Yes, go ahead.
I love your show.
Thank you.
And I'm talking about the tax cut extensions as well. I think we should let them expire. But what the Pelosi House should do and the Harry Reid lame duck Senate should do is pass a stimulus bill targeting only the middle class and then have that stimulus be sent out in checks so people receive it in their hands, just like George Bush did.
Exactly. Talking about playing pure politics. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. You mean take credit for helping the middle class?
Yeah, that's
something. Oh, that's so
Democrats
rude.
Don't do
that's
that.
That's so rude.
We can't know.
Ross,
in a secret. The Republicans would never try to rush anything through so rudely in a lame duck. Ross in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ross.
Oh, hey. Oh, that guy's got me so furious, I almost forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
The bottom line is they're letting these tax cuts, they're going to keep them in place, but they're going to pay for them by cutting my 80-year-old mother's Social Security and her Medicare. And I've got a quick question. When they're talking about small businesses, are they talking about all these franchises with the filling stations and the restaurants and the chain restaurants and places like that that are generally not owned by Americans, but people here that use the visa, a foreign visa, to do business? Is that the small businesses they're worried about having to pay taxes?
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. And it, you know, you're right. It's like, why is it that those are the people that always have to be protected as the top 1%? And your grandmother's got to work till she's 107 carrying your barbells up to the attic. Am I right?
Well, not if you give me that guy's address, because I'm going to move her over at his house and he can fly around in his plane.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my, how ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour.
Did you forget where the on button was?
Yes. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Bless your heart.
The button is in a different place in my box. Who knew?
What?
Wow.
It's tricky.
Really? It moved?
Uh-huh. 1-800...
They all say that.
Sure. Usher is going to have to go on my future husband's list. He says he finds intelligent women very, very sexy. A woman who has a brain, who's street smart and book smart, that woman is very, very sexy to me. And in addition, I am a,
Usher, there's husband material for you.
Yeah.
For a limited time.
By the way, Eric in Ohio speculated. John, I don't know if this happens to you. I your comforter sometimes, I don't know if I'm just thrashy in bed, but it becomes a giant comforter boulder sometimes on top of me in the middle of the night, and then I must push it aside like they had to push the boulder aside for Jesus to arise.
Yes.
In the morning.
And I don't know. Wait a minute. Who's they? I think Jesus pushed the boulder aside.
Right. I have to push the boulder aside.
You said they pushed the boulder aside for Jesus.
It could be because
of all
I'm
the first world problems, Stephanie. That's one of the worst.
Well, I'm hot flashy. I'm very hot flashy, and I'm I get hot, and so that I push them off, and then I pull them anyway. But it becomes a giant boulder that I have to magically.
My comforter boulder is usually full of cats.
Yeah, mine is too.
Yes, me too. I roll over my boulder, and it scratches me.
Eric says that he speculated my raccoons probably come in and roll up my comforter in the middle of the night, which is not true.
Like they roll up your sod.
No, they only roll up when I buy expensive sod. Then
they have no trouble getting through that giant doggy door. So
yes, they roll up my sod as a little prank.
I'm surprised they're not sitting on the couch watching Animal Planet.
Yeah, you have a gigantic doggy door that two raccoons could fit through at once.
It's like that. My house is like that old John Belushi skit, the Wilderness Comedian. Christina Aguilera says she would drink Cher's bathwater. She was worried about meeting the pop icon when she first went on the set of their new film Burlesque, which I saw it filming. I was on the street. I watched them film that several months ago. Anyway, she was like a fan stalker of Cher's and would drink her bath. I don't even want to know what Cher's bathwater would be like, but I don't think good. There'd be sequins in it and wig hair.
What else would she do with Cher? Did you mention anything else?
No, Jim.
Oh, Jim.
Crazy. No.
No.
Can I have my English? This is our second English story. Helen Mirren, Dame Helen Mirren. She's not amused by her country's humor. She said, I prefer the finesse of French humor. What's French humor?
It has a certain je ne sais quoi.
I don't know what that is.
English humor is harsher, more scathing, she says, more cruel, more surreal, too, as illustrated by Monty Python in the TV series Little Britain, where situations are far-fetched and over the top.
Little Britain's pretty damn funny.
Oh,
it's pretty funny show.
Please, Helen, you tight ass.
Computer says no.
For God's sakes.
She's going back to Monty Python?
Yeah, Little Britain's hilarious.
I don't like British humor. Let me go back 40 years in the past to make an example.
Okay, one last. Boy, those straights sure are good parents, aren't they, Stack? In our celebrity stack. Mel Gibson says he never punched. What's her name? Oksana
Vesnitskaya Brudnitsa.
Exactly. He just
does. He was morphing into Octomom.
He just slapped her.
That's not.
No.
Mel says he didn't make her bleed and didn't find out until later that he had knocked one of her teeth out. That's quite a slap. Octo claims that Mel slapped their baby while he punched her in the face. Mel claims that she whisked baby Lucia's brain cells by shaking her, so either way, the equation ends the same. Baby Lucia is every layer of... I wonder if Mel's beaver puppet is interested in filing for custody of her delisted inquiry. Oh, boy.
God.
Mm. Mel's lucky that judge didn't make him pay reparations for Lethal Weapon 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, who am I supposed to root against? With Mel and Oksana, it's like Harry Reid and Sharon Angle.
I know.
Yeah.
David in Albuquerque. Hi, David.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Hey, that woman that called about the estate tax really illustrates that most Americans don't know about tax brackets. in fact, the administration should couch this as income that's earned over $200,000 for a single person, rather than those taxpayers. Because everybody believes it's going to apply to the entire amount they earn.
Right. I'm sorry, Jim, I think lost him somehow. His call dropped out, but I think you talked about that it's only taxed on a certain amount. It's not the entire amount, is what you were saying.
I don't have the figures in front of me right now. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Mike in Milwaukee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
hey,
hello.
No, Steph.
Yes.
Hey, I was calling in response to that guy who was giving you guys a hard time about the Bush tax cuts. Mm. And as a middle-class citizen, I'd give up my middle-class tax cuts that Bush gave me if all the Republicans in Congress would come out on the steps of the Capitol building and pledge to give up their socialist health care and go out on the private
right.
market
mm-hmm.
and buy health care and show their constituents that privately owned health care is better than government-owned health care.
Yeah.
And I say this in particular to Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, because mm-hmm. whenever you talk to him, he always points you to his webpage to read his roadmap for America. Well, I actually read what I now call Road Crap for America. And in there, he's cutting every program in terms of Social Security, Medicare, mm-hmm. Medicaid, VA benefits.
Well,
right
yeah.
across the board, they're cutting them.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Mike,
it's
all a load of crap. I mean, this is, you know, Joe Miller, Sharon Engel, all of them, you know, have been on the dole while screaming about it. We just did the story of, who is this, the Republican? Just got famous.
Yes,
he
Republican
ran
from Georgia.
Yes, he ran on repealing Obamacare and government-run blah, blah, blah. And he
right.
was literally at freshman orientation yesterday.
Where's
screaming.
My government health care?
Yeah, he was causing a stir on Capitol Hill, demanding his government health care.
Yes, yeah, so
I
why
have socialist
health
care. You don't want it. It's awful. The virus is airborne.
Yeah, and yeah. why he has to wait 28 days.
Yeah, it's yeah. another example of I got mine, and now you're on your own.
Yes. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Have you ever heard the term nip slip?
Bobby, it's a
Stephanie Miller
signature move. I just drop my shoulder like so. You're welcome, nerd.
That's how we met.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Bill sends me the, this is what the call. One caller, we've been batting down those right-wing callers like cat toys all morning.
Today. Yeah.
It's some myth about Warren Buffett's, yes. Warren Buffett said he pays 17.7% in taxes compared to his secretary who paid 30% in taxes.
Math
which
is
I'm
a
sure,
liberal bias.
I'm sure he's lying about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course he's lying. He's a class traitor.
Scott in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Scott.
Oh, hey. What's
hey,
up?
Not much. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to make a point about this millionaire's tax cut and... basically, you know, the idea is they're telling us this is going to cost $70 billion a year, $700 billion over the next 10 years. And, you know, I watch a lot of MSNBC, and I always want them to make the point, you know, who's going to pay for this? Who's paying for it? And who's paying for it is us. And basically what they want us to do is take out a $700 billion loan, us as in the middle class, and give it to the rich people.
Yeah,
yeah, your kids will pay for it.
Yeah, so grandma can work till she's 1,000. It makes no sense to me either. Let's go to Robert in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rob.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi. I want to be your official 50-year-old that listens to your show. This is the funniest show on television. I almost had to clear my thoughts. I've worked with everyone in the industry, but when I got to talk to Rebecca on the line, I got staticky and I couldn't figure a thought. This is the best show on radio. People
radio. Oh, thank God. Radio. Okay, we thought for a minute we were on TV and didn't realize it. Okay.
And it's Miranda you talk to.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes.
Rebecca's on sabbatical.
Oh, okay.
But your fact-checking's good. You're qualified to work in the government.
Okay, perfect.
All right, go ahead.
People
O'Reilly
don't
siren.
See what's going on because they don't want to. If I have much is required from me. Isn't that what Spider-Man said? That
Spider-Man?
Remember
you get movie references wrong.
When his uncle was dead, when his uncle was dying.
Yes.
To those that are given much is required.
That's right. All right, Spider-Man.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Okay.
The Kennedys said that.
Boy.
Too.
Bat crazy Michelle Bachmann announced her new Tea Party caucus will hold classes on the Constitution for members of Congress.
Maybe she should have done that in high school.
Yeah, maybe she should have done that a little earlier.
Yeah.
Guess who she's lined up or who her wish list is for teachers?
Who?
Noam Chomsky.
Sean Hannity, noted intellectual giant.
Sean Hannity?
Oh my God.
Judge No Forehead Andrew Napolitano and David Barton, a Christian evangelist who said church-state separation is a myth. That'll make up the faculty roster there.
That's great.
Here is Bat now.
There will be a new sheriff in town, and this sheriff is going to listen to the American people.
Mm. And Daryl, I said, don't need no stinking badges, neither. Mm. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say noted. Let me just see here. Read this. Car thief, arsonist.
Yeah.
Insurance defrauder.
Roid user. Yeah.
Steroid user. Toupee wearer.
Well, we don't know.
Reason the California economy was turned over to an Austrian weightlifter.
Allegedly.
That's right.
And we apologize to Daryl Asshat if any of that offended him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Representative,
he can leap on camera.
Representative-elect Frank Guinta?
I think it's Junta.
He's the new one from New Hampshire.
We will make sure that we cut borrowing, that we cut spending, that we cut taxes, that we make sure we get rid of Obamacare.
Uh-huh.
Now where's my government-funded health care?
Yeah, where's mine?
God.
Unbelievable. By the way, Dick Army?
Army of Dick?
Yes.
What was his previous name?
Penis Air Force.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No, Schwanz Coast Guard.
Okay. He's against gays in the military, and his name is
Dick Army.
Freedom Works, Dick Army's Freedom Works, they hosted a retreat for freshman Republican lawmakers. Senator-elect Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, was there. He once recalled almost breaking out in tears over the vast resources Freedom Works dedicated to help getting him elected. Boy, they are a blubbery bunch, these two. crying over an army of Dick.
A lot of estrogen.
When did the Republican Party become the party of pussies?
The retreat occurred amidst new reports claiming that Republican insiders and Republican operatives are using events during the upcoming lame duck session to co-opt new Tea Party lawmakers. Think Progress asked him if he was worried about the appearance of attending a retreat run by a former lobbyist for banking and other corporate interests, and he said, not at all. Think Progress said, are you worried that some of the lobbyists are co-opting the Tea Party movement? He said, not at all. It was a bunch of crap that we ran on. It's going to be business as usual, only better than ever for the bankers.
Yeah, because it's the same lobbyists that own them.
By the way, banks have responded heavily to the regulatory reform effort by giving heavily to Republicans, oddly enough. Uh-huh.
Wow, that's so unusual.
And now they're
expecting
to get what they paid for. We've been disappointed with the number of legislative outcomes with the past Congress. We look forward to better outcomes with this Congress, said a spokesman for the American Bankers Association.
So they can crash the world economy again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But even better this time.
Banks expect a corrections bill to peel back some of the financial regulations passed into law last year.
What could possibly go
wrong?
I can't
wait to bail them out again in 10 years.
Of course, working with hordes of lobbyists from the financial service industry, nothing new for House Republicans. The boner, last year, as you recall, huddled with more than 100 bank lobbyists to brainstorm ways of defeating financial reform entirely. It's what you voted for! All right. Meanwhile, someone wants to talk about Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel!
Hi, Mark in Minneapolis.
Hi, I just got a question about Charlie Rangel. It's really too bad that he didn't engage himself in starting the longest war in American history, killing more than a couple thousand innocent brave Americans, killing an estimated million innocent civilians, and then using torture to coerce false.
Yes, then he could be chuckling on TV with Matt Lauer instead.
Yeah, then
he
could be getting a book deal, and I mean that's one of the things, Stephanie, that we're looking at. Why is Bush? He makes me physically ill when I see him on television. I want to punch, the television. And the fact that he's walking around, with a book deal and all these other matters and concerns, and nobody's addressing that.
Yep. Suck on that.
Yeah, he should have called his book "Suck on That."
We gotta have a wrangle off on this show.
I think we are going to have a wrangle off. But yeah,
Charlie,
can I just say?
Yeah, you smell a wrangle off coming on. Now there's more than one mimic. I got to get out of here and try to raise some money to do my wrangle off. It's the grift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
The grift of graft.
Did you see his dramatic walkout? I thought if he only had grabbed a couple of beers and activated the emergency chute, it couldn't have been more dramatic.
With all due respect, since I don't have counsel to advise me, I'm going to have to excuse myself from these proceedings.
The ethics panel rejected his request to delay the trial, forged ahead with its business. Although, can I just say, Part of this stuff I don't understand. Ethics Committee attorneys later admitted there's no issue of corruption by Rangel or any apparent attempt to benefit himself or his family personally through his actions.
So, what's the point of all this?
I know, I don't...
Exactly.
Yes, the top Ethics Committee lawyer said, I see no evidence of corruption. It's hard to answer the question of personal financial benefit. I think the short answer is probably no. Do I believe, based on the record, that Congressman Rangel took steps to benefit himself based on his position in Congress? No. I believe that the congressman, quite frankly, was overzealous in many of the things he did and sloppy in his personal finances.
But we need to show the Republicans that we go after our own. And that will, I hope, make them be more responsible with the things they do.
Yeah, and how much money?
If they're
self-loathing enough, they'll respect us.
Well, don't you respect us now? Look, we went after one of our own.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you like us now? Oh.
Oh, boy.
We're sorry. Okay. We'll try to investigate everyone next time.
These are the people still defending Iran-Contra.
Yep.
You know?
Ben in Rockville, Maryland. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hey, guys. Listen, I've been listening to some of these people on Monday and that last comment, and I have a little rant. It's called, Oh, My God, Are These Teabaggers Insane?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Stephanie, I've listened to these crazies who called in on Monday, and to quote Popeye, I stand all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
Well, blow me down.
These teabaggers need to be confronted with facts and be nicknamed according to those facts. Fact, in the election of 2008, there were 18 states that paid their own way or were net contributors to the federal budget. They are the successful states. That means there were 32 states that were net receivers from the federal budget. They are the welfare states. What do successful states have in common? Higher taxes on the rich, more government, and a strong value in education. The exception is Texas because they have a lot of oil. What do the welfare states have in common? Lower taxes on the rich, less government, and they think going to school makes you less of an American.
Yep.
The exceptions are the states surrounding D.C. that employ all these expensive, educated government employees to do unimportant things like ensure your water's safe, you can eat food without getting sick, the country's secure from terrorist attacks, etc. You know, little stuff. Now, based on these facts, you either need to, number one, beat Texas. Oil alone isn't enough, as Alaska receives $1.87 in spending for every dollar it contributes to the federal budget. In Texas, they use oil money to give away free college education, reinvesting in their citizens, so they have at least one of the three traits of a successful state. Damn socialists. The other option is to, number two, have taxes on the rich, have higher taxes on the rich, more government, and value education. Now, guess what they broke for the 2008 election? 17 to 18 successful states voted for Obama. Only Texas voted for McCain. That means that states that vote Republican are almost without exception welfare states.
Yep.
I think the term welfare state should be added to every Republican's official name if it applies, for example, Senator Mitch McConnell from the welfare state of Kentucky.
Yep, there you go. Well, you know, it's like all the states with gay marriage have the lowest rate of divorce for straight marriages. Think of that. Funny that. Carson in Washington, D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carson, welcome. Hello. Hey, Carson.
Hey there.
Hi, go ahead.
Stephanie, love your show.
Thank you.
All right, real quick. I'm all for, you know, letting the tax cuts on 250K and above expire. However, 250K in or around, say, New York City is very different than 250K
That's true.
In rural North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way, has anybody even explored somehow adjusting cost of living, adjusting for cost of living? These are two completely different classes.
Yeah, I know people who live in Kansas in a mansion.
Yeah.
What would have bought them a modest ranch house in L.A.? It does make a difference. 250 doesn't go that far in Manhattan.
You're telling me.
Well, I think that was taken into account. I think it's the happy medium between rural and urban.
Yes.
I think that was the number that was decided upon. That was the happy medium.
All right.
I think it needs to be happier and less medium.
You know, well, many of us could probably buy our entire hometown, but then, of course, we'd have to live in our hometown, which is... Where we were. John, you know, frequently got gum thrown in his hair and got called the F word for gay man.
Yes. I did. Well, I grew up in Bohemia, the most ironically named city in the world.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. We'll have a good time. Leave your worries behind.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, of course, Hump Days with Hal Sparks and actress Christine Lottie joins
right.
us on the big show.
Cool. Unless she's in the bathroom.
Hi!
Got to see.
Yeah. What? You should do your Jack Nicholson impression the whole show because that'd be funny. All right.
What?
Jack Nicholson was the one that said Lottie's in the potty, remember?
Oh, oh well, that was
because you think, right. thank you.
Was that Lottie's Saturday? In the potty.
Yes.
I just came up with that. And I'm not even high.
I think she probably still loves that joke. Loves it. All
I
right.
think she'd prefer to forget about that whole incident,
actually,
wouldn't she?
I pulled a Christine Lottie when I was working on Becker. You know, I'm standing around for hours waiting for my scene, and of course, when I'm in the bathroom, that's when I'm. So. Oh, I pulled a Christine Lottie. Got to laugh. Okay.
Did Ted Danson have a fit? What happened? To
yes,
give us some
and
Becker
I
gossip.
Only worked on the show twice again after that. So.
Uh-huh. Oh, you know, yesterday I went to the hardware store because I'm a lesbian and it's the law. Just like old Jews must move to Florida. I don't know. I don't know why.
But you don't know.
I don't make the
shirt.
Rules. I just follow them.
Yeah, you don't play softball.
No.
You don't fix cars.
Well. I needed little wiki things for my tiki torch things. I don't know how to fix anything, but I know how to, whatever.
You're building your own set for Lilith Fair, I understand.
Yes.
Yeah. You
are. Anyway, is it just me? I'm starting to feel holiday pressure. They had all the Christmas stuff up already.
Oh, they had it up a month ago.
And Christmas
oh, yeah.
trees. And I'm
it's
like,
war
what?
On Christmas
I'm
season.
Not even, I
too
can't
much
even
pressure.
Focus on Thanksgiving yet.
Costco had it up in September.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
It's getting ridiculous. I don't need Christmas pressure.
Okay, you're getting old.
Okay.
Now, well, now you're just complaining about everything.
Well, as you get older, time accelerates. All right, God, it's Christmas already.
Christmas balls, I haven't even
what?
Had
what?
My turkey yet.
Steph, don't view it as Christmas time is here already. View it as war on Christmas is here already.
Okay, good. Bill yeah. and anything to annoy Bill O'Reilly. Exactly. Bill in Sacramento.
Hey, Steph,
hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, regarding Michelle Bachmann. Do you think is she crazier than the 9/11 inside job conspiracy theorists like Jim Ward?
No, she's not. It's not about crazy. It's about stupid.
It's about
not knowing what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the 9/11 things. A lot of the widows of 9/11 victims want a new investigation because much. Even Geraldo talked about Building 7 the other day. And is mm-hmm. now convinced
Listen,
that
Jim, it's name calling day. Welcome to it. Somebody please call in and call Chris a name so he doesn't feel left out.
No one's insulted me yet either.
It's the hack on the conspiracy theorist show.
I was called a brilliant voiceover artist earlier today. So
yeah, you sure are. Jim, who said, I don't think an American president should be talking about putting the boot heel on the throat of a corporation because it sends the wrong signal the government is the enemy somehow. Business.
Don Knotts.
No. Close, though. Rand Paul about defending BP again. And also kind of funny he used the boot thing again because his guy actually put his boot on an actual woman.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
On film.
As you
stomped on her head.
As you recall, this summer he called the administration's pressure on BP to clean up this spill un-American. That was un-American. And rude. And just rude.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's still not cleaned up.
In
the
August,
Gulf is full of Corexit and oil.
In August, Paul suggested that mine safety regulations were unnecessary because the free market would take care of the problem.
Sure.
No one will apply for jobs at dangerous mines, he explained.
By killing all the miners. That solved so many problems.
And
look at all the people that are not paying.
It's another edition of This Is What You Voted For. Enjoy.
And in Chile, they were able to save all their miners. And in this country, they die. Huh.
Mm-hmm. And do you know why that is? Because the government nationalized the company.
Uh-huh. These midterms are making me a little unglued, aren't they?
Yeah, are you okay?
This is what you voted for, and...
You are an idiot!
Do you need an aspirin?
No, I need some more right-wing world. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Let's dive in and see what's doing, shall we? Oh, Glenn Beck on the team.
Radicals who are in bed with the unions need the unrest here.
Oh.
The radicals, the unions, and the communists over there are causing it, and it will happen here.
Ooh, radicals.
What the hell is he talking about?
Radicals and union workers and bears.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You know, this guy who he loves to talk about how George Soros, by the way, being Hungarian for class traitor, how George Soros toppled so many governments. They were all communist governments. So
yes.
It's almost like Glenn Beck is talking out of both sides of his mouth, folks. You know, he's furious at toppling communist governments, and he's furious at communists.
By the way, we have a little bit of breaking news coming out of Washington, D.C. Representative Charlie Rangel has been convicted of violations. The Ethics Committee has found the congressman guilty.
Wow. So don't report that you got income on a rental property in Dominican Republic. Guilty. Torture people. Book deal.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to America.
Does that? That's not going to inhibit our ability to say...
Charlie Rangel.
That's all we care about. Or great, another four-year-old just got her job outsourced.
How many people did I kill? None.
Is that a four-year-old or is that the singer from Cradle of Filth?
All right, Rush Limbaugh on a caller. Oh, they have that laser-like, George Bush-like understanding of the healthcare system.
Republicans want to take your Social Security away. Republicans want to take your healthcare away. That's what Obama and the Democrats are figuring. This is insidious from the get-go.
And we already had coverage to children to 26 years of age, and we had coverage for the poor people in Arizona anyway.
That's right.
In every state, I believe.
It's called the emergency room.
Oh, my God.
One of the reasons we're in this mess in the first place, because people were going to the emergency room for free health care and clogging up.
Right. So people with actual emergencies can't get in.
Exactly.
Because people are using it for their primary health care.
Okay. Brian, wow, it just gets smarter. Are we just going down the layers of dumb on the dumb lasagna?
No.
We've hit Brian Kilmeade.
All right, President Obama back in the U.S. after his longest overseas trip to date. But did he accomplish anything, or was this another chapter in the Great American Apology Tour? Dana Perino gives us her take. Well,
Dana Perino, the
wonder
expert
what she's
on
gonna
everything.
Say. Yes.
They're a little one-sided over there at Fox, aren't they?
As opposed to the Dick Cheney no apology tour.
Yeah. Hey, let's have a second helping of fear-mongering.
Go we know ahead. Who the, you know, enemies are of freedom. We know who's, you know, we know that the Fed is the one that is pushing this ridiculous policy that they are your enemy at the grocery store. They are your enemy at the gas pump.
What?
The Fed.
What?
Period.
Huh?
I don't know. I just need more George Bush before we go. Please, Sean Hannity.
Mr. President, it's first of all, you've become a little bit like a rock star. So you start your book tour, and you have people sleeping overnight outside a bookstore in Dallas, and thousands of people.
I signed about 2,400 books, and I couldn't thank people enough.
Well, that's a hard-hitting interview.
Oh, thank you, Mr.
Give
President.
Give Hannity some credit for elocuting so well with his face buried between Bush's buttocks, please. Haters.
Thank you for everything, Mr. President.
You're welcome. Man, that one made me puke.
All right, that's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.